the Spotify mess. Whoopi Goldberg wasn't wrong, but it's not about her being wrong. It's about pushing an agenda. And Brian Flores, let me tell you something. This podcast isn't for everybody. It's just for my people.
Watch this. This.
Give him the mouth. You should have just complied. Did we? Jissy. Whatever.
You're listening to At The Half. And now, Jackie Ray.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to At The Half. I am Jackie Ray. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast or subscribe to the YouTube page or follow me on all things social media at Jackie Ray TV. Yes, we have a lot to talk about. There is a lot going on in the world. I'm going to tread very, very lightly on that Whoopi Goldberg situation because I feel like at some point in my life, there's going to be a time when I'm sitting on a desk somewhere and this podcast will pop up and people will ask me to issue some sort of fake apology. So I'm going to try to avoid the fake apology and just say what I mean and mean what I say, give y'all some facts and let y'all process the information. We're also going to talk about this Brian Flores situation. Black folks in the NFL, that conversation is specifically for you. So make sure you stay tuned for that at the half of At The Half. But right now, I want to get into this Spotify situation because this podcast actually airs on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, a bunch of other little podcast platforms that primarily go overseas. But Spotify is one of those platforms that I am on. So recently, you know, this COVID situation, Joe Rogan has said a bunch of the most asinine stuff ever. He's also had access to treatment that most people don't have access to after he got COVID. So some of the stuff he's saying really, in my opinion, could get people killed. But at the same time, I feel like if you're going to listen to this guy who doesn't even invest in ChapStick or Carmex, then that's on you. So I don't really dig too much into what he's saying. But India Arie is one of my favorite artists. She got the whole natural vibe going, natural black girl vibe going. I absolutely love her. And I saw this on her, I believe she posted it on her TikTok, but I saw it on her Instagram. So I want you guys to take a listen because Joe Rogan has been racist. He's been racist. Dana White, been racist. And I'm not entirely sure why we've given them a pass for that, but we have. But India Arie said something so profound, and I want you to take a listen.
Yeah. Guy barely speaks English. He takes us there. We get out, and we're giggling. Oh, we're going to see Planet of the Apes. We walk into Planet of the Apes. We walked into Africa, dude. We walked in the door, and there was no white people.
I empathize with the people who are leaving for the COVID disinformation reasons, and I think that they should. I also think that Joe Rogan has the right to say what he wants to say. I also think that I have the right to say what I want to say. So as an artist who builds, Spotify is built on the back of the music streaming. So they take this money that's built from streaming and they pay this guy $100 million, but they pay us 0.003% of a penny. Just take me off. I don't want to generate money that pays this. Just take me off. That's where I'm at.
I don't even know. Anybody who knows Joe Rogan knows he is on multiple occasions. I would dare to say if we went and really scanned all of his podcasts, anytime he's mentioned black people, it's with racist context. I remember one time he had this mixed guy on there somebody in his family need to beat him up, but he basically said, you know, he was mixed. And Joe Rogan said, oh, that's amazing. You get the best of both worlds. You get the body of a black man and the mind of a white man. And then he was like, not to say that the black mind is bad, but you know what I'm saying. Punk, yes, we do know what you're saying. You said what you meant the first time. And then in this statement, you know what he's saying, you know, Planet of the Apes. And that is just a very negative connotation that white people have referred to us as across the board, you know, even though our lips are historically bigger than apes and white people's are not, but you know, sure, we'll go with it. So here's the thing though. India Arie took a stand. And if you listen to that whole thing, which I encourage you to do, if you go onto her Instagram page, you can listen to her whole thing. And she said, she just made that statement because that's what it meant to her. She didn't want her, little percentage of a penny going to pay this man and his insane contract, which is stupid. I'll say this too. Joe Rogan did I'm defending myself against the people who say I'm delivering misinformation about COVID. He never once defended himself against the racism. I low-key applaud him on that. He's like, oh, I'm racist as hell for sure. I ain't got to say nothing about that. If you don't know that I'm racist, that's on you. But he did try to claim that he didn't deliver misinformation and everything that he delivered was actually factual. And then, of course, here comes all the anti-vaxxers, the January 6th idiots that think he's right. So that really triggered me what India Ari said. I'm just going to tell a story time. I don't think I've done story time on here for a while. Story time. So again, my podcast is delivered on all those platforms. I am a big proponent of if you can do it black instead, do it black instead. So what does that mean, though? I think India Ari is 100% correct, especially if she's going to stay on iTunes and things of that nature. I have an opportunity specifically to be on an all-black platform. But what does that mean? That means my podcast has to be exclusively held on that platform, which means it can't go out to iTunes, can't go out to iHeart, and it can't go out to Spotify. So as a person who's really building their platform and really trying to get that broader audience, like I said, even because I use Anchor to distribute my podcast, it does do these smaller formats or these smaller platforms that send it out overseas. So I do get shout out to the UK and Britain. I don't know why I get a bunch of listeners from over there, but hey, y'all, hey. But I don't think I would get that if it wasn't for Anchor pushing it out to these smaller platforms. If I go to this black-owned, black-operated platform, I will not get that. On top of that, any listeners that I get are going to be strictly because of me. It's not like they're going to promote me properly. They're not going to get me this international exposure. It's not going to be, that means my hustle, and if for those of y'all who know me, I already hustle really hard, but that means my hustle has to go up exponentially to broaden my audience. That being said, though, it is black owned, black operated. So now here's the conundrum that I'm personally in. I'm with India Ari. It's easy for me to pull my podcast off of Spotify. To be honest, I don't get the majority of my listens from Spotify. The majority of my listens do come from iHeart and iTunes. So it's not a big deal to me. Plus, I'm not even my 0.003% of a penny. I'm not getting that from Spotify. I have to get a ton more listens than even in India Ari because I'm not established like that yet before I get paid. So it's not a big deal for me to yank it from Spotify. But how big a deal would it be if this podcast and every other black podcast means you have a black host, it's led by a black host, even if you have non-black people on your show, if it is your show and you're black, how much would it mean if we all stood together and bounced to a black platform? Because now all of a sudden we could push the narrative of that black platform, and then iTunes, Spotify, iHeart probably would come to that platform and say, hey, you got some dope podcasts here. It again, it's a lot of work. But, and this is going to bleed into the next segment as well. At what point do we say we want to work for us, with us, by us, and push our own narrative? Then we want to work for those who are going to let somebody like Joe Rogan make $100 million a year, knowing damn well he's racist, and give him an opportunity to either issue an apology or not issue an apology. I saw a lot of people that I consider, at least social media friends, like his fake ass apology post. That is disheartening to me because I just don't feel like I have, if you're in my circle, you should know better than to like that man. I need y'all to know that y'all need to do better. Joe Rogan is not for us. And I'm not really mad at that. I'm not mad that he is a white dude pushing a white agenda and trying to play dumb when he says racist stuff. That is very much the norm for a lot of people. I'm not mad at that. What I'm mad at is what we'll see is somebody like Joe Rogan say racist stuff, and white people will do the same thing to us that they do about everything else. Oh, yeah, yeah, police be gunning y'all down in the street all the time, but y'all need to get over that. Y'all need to just comply. Joe Rogan didn't really mean that. Let them have that. Let them say that. Let them think that. But this whole thing of we keep trying to change they damn mind, ain't y'all tired of that? Let Joe Rogan be racist on Spotify. Let them have Spotify. Let's build up our own stuff, because the reality of it is this country steals everything from us. They steal our swag, our speech, the way we talk, the way we act, our music. Y'all probably should steal some seasoning, but they steal everything from us. So when they would have to literally come to us to steal it, though. And that means you got to pay us. But when we just out there giving them our products willy-nilly, then we're the ones that got to do this Whoopi Goldberg apology that we're going to get to at the end of the show. At what point? It's Black History Month, y'all. Can we at least have this conversation where it's time for us to build our own everything? Our own banks, our own schools, our own communities. There's not even any Black communities in this country anymore. We need to stick together at all costs. I don't know how y'all don't see that. I don't know how y'all don't see that January 6th happened, where crazy white folks get to storm the Capitol. Most of them are going to go to some sort of Club Med version of jail. And then you have white main media talking about, oh, it wasn't a terrorist attack. These are people that were trying to buck the system. Let Black folks try to buck the system like that. We will die. I'm not even being funny. We will die. And we know that. So if we're not going to buck the system that way, if we're not going to push for change that way, is there another way we can do this outside of strictly sticking together? And I mean that across the board. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Y'all do what you do. Y'all love who you love. But you cannot be pro-Black if you are not pro-Black family. So I'm not talking to people who think outside of that. If you are pro-Black, that means you're pro-Black everything. And those of us who are pro-Black everything, we need to figure out a way to stick together, to build together, to move together. Because the reason why communities can demand apologies all of a sudden is because they stick together. The reason why we just get these fake-ass apologies and then people keep their whole jobs and their whole life is because we don't push the narrative and we don't have the mass numbers of us forcing change. So I'm going to say what we need to do, Black people. Even if you don't go to an all-Black platform, pull your podcast off Spotify, because numbers matter. Even if you think, oh, I'm just a small little podcast, pull your podcast off Spotify. Pull your music off Spotify. I know that's a big deal for a lot of you guys who are independent artists, but I am telling you, we need the numbers. Just like white women came over to Black women, it wasn't about actually giving us rights and helping us move in the feminist movement. It was about the numbers. Learn from those who did it before you. It's the numbers, y'all. Everybody pull your stuff from Spotify. Everybody. All right? When we come back, we're going to talk about Brian Flores, and we're going to keep the same energy. Stick together. Stay with us.
In today's society, everything your heart desires can be ordered with the simple touch of a device. Mobile beauty services are the newest, fastest growing trend around the world. With this new and literally cutting edge service offered by Custom Cuts Beauty, your braids, lashes, even extensions are done on your schedule at your convenience. Log on to the app, create a profile, add payment information, and our certified specialists come to you in the comfort of your environment. Log on today and make your next beauty appointment custom.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to At the Half. At the Half with your girl, Jackie Ray. Just want to shout out Rosa Parks. Today is February 4th. When you're first listening to this podcast, whenever you're listening to it later, I don't know. Today, it's February 4th, and Rosa Parks was born on February 4th, 1931. I got my Rosa Parks shirt on right now, so I don't have my Rosa Parks shirt on right now. I think I have my Harriet Tubman shirt. I got so many damn shirts, y'all, but I got my Harriet Tubman shirt on right now. But let's get into this next topic, because This one's really just for Black players in the NFL. I definitely respect people when they say they're looking to create more opportunities for Black and brown people. I respect that. Me specifically, when I say it, I'm saying it for Black people. And the only reason, the main reason that I'm saying that is because as Black people, brown people, when we're talking about the Latino community, they definitely stick together a lot better than we do. And they have, they've been like that. And I salute them for that. And they, their commitment to family, you know, you'll have like 3-4 generations in the same house. I just think that's a beautiful thing. That's something that, that we can definitely learn from. But I think when it's, when it comes to having the numbers and pushing the agenda, they're definitely a little bit in front of us. I understand that we're all still kind of fighting the same fight, but they're a little bit ahead of us because they understand the power of unity, the power of family, the power of sticking together. I'm not saying that Black people, well, I am, because, you know, Black people especially, we'll hear it in our community all the time. As soon as you get 18, you got to get out. Do you though? Like, are you ready? Well, you know, and that's the difference. You'll hear white people talk about people 23, 24, 25 years old and be like, oh, they're just a young kid. You know, they do stupid stuff. But yeah, we think that our kids are ready to get out at 18. No, we need to kind of cultivate that you need to stay here until you're ready. And then that way, when you do get out, you're not only ready to be a very pivotal role in society, you can push the agenda and you can help your family as well. And I definitely think the Latino community, for the most part, obviously there's, you can't paint a whole people with one stroke, but for the most part, I think they're a little bit better than that at that than we are. And I think that for me in this situation right now with Brian Flores, if you don't know the situation, I'm sure you've seen the headlines right now, especially if you're a sports fan. Brian Flores is suing the NFL for racial discrimination. I feel like every time he talks, we're getting more and more Bill Belichick involved in this situation. And I don't mean that to say that Bill Belichick is racist. I think that he just kind of felt like, you know, Brian Flores was supposed to be somewhere and he didn't realize that these people were operating on their whole white fake sham interviews and he just kind of got caught up. But one thing that Brian Flores said that stuck out to me, and this is the part that I'm going to stick to outside of everything else that he said in his lawsuit. One of the things that he said is he goes, I know that I'm doing this. And by doing this, it means that I might never get another coaching job in the NFL, but I have to affect change. That is where I need us as Black people to stay. That is what I need us to focus on. And I need you to rewind to Colin Kaepernick, because the way that Black people in the NFL handled Colin Kaepernick was embarrassing, to say the least, because we left that man out there to dry. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that this was his own personal protest. I don't believe for a second that this man meant for that protest to get as big as it got. But once it did get that big, he maintained the course and he didn't back down from the fact that I don't want to stand for something that doesn't mean the same thing to my people as it means to yours. And Black people in the NFL, y'all left that man out there to dry. Y'all did not stand with him. I really don't give a damn what side of the field you're on that. Really, I don't. I don't care if your family was in the military. I don't care if you was in the military. I don't care if you was a Jehovah's Witness or whatever the hell reason you had for not supporting that man. I 100% do not care. But what I do know is when one of us stands up for something, we have to support that one person. If history has taught us nothing, it's that the white society will tear down our leaders anytime they get a chance. Rosa Parks wasn't the leader of the Montgomery bus boycott. She was implemented in that. A young woman, forgive me because I can't remember her name, but a young woman had done that long before Rosa Parks, but it was strategic. The plan was, we understand that this is something that we need to do. Let's get somebody to just embody that and become the face. And when they did that, it wasn't about just boycotting the bus. And see, that's what we didn't do with the NFL. We just said, oh, we want to boycott the NFL, but we had no plan. It wasn't about just boycotting the bus. It was about creating a situation where, yes, our Black people are not only not going to get on that bus, we're going to make sure that they still have transportation in spite of that bus. We're going to make it so you lose money because we're not doing X, Y, and Z. So what does that mean? I have said, if you've listened to any of my other podcasts, I have said that the head coach that I want for the Saints is Eric Bieniemy. Now, he is supposedly, I don't think he's really going to be serious about that job, because it would make sense for him to kind of just wait until Andy Reid, which I feel like he only has another year, two tops, before he retires, and then just step into the head coaching job in Kansas City. But if for some reason he doesn't want to do that, please come over to the Saints. I have been a huge proponent of that. So we're supposed to interview him sometime next week. Don't know if that's one of these sham situations, because remember, it's not too far gone that even though the Rooney Rule has been implemented, NFL teams are still not interviewing Black candidates, or they're just interviewing them already knowing, like we've seen in the Brian Flores situation, that they're going to hire a white guy anyway. They're just doing it to save face. It does not make sense to me to have that many Black men on the field. Over 70% of the league is Black on the field, and we don't have that representation. Does that mean I feel like 70% of the coaches in the NFL should be Black? You're damn right. You're damn right. It just hits differently. I don't care what anybody tells you. It hits differently when somebody who looks like you knows what it means to be in this country with the skin that we're in and still be at that level. It hits differently when you get mentored by someone like that. Even as a journalist, I have a lot of, you know, white folks that give me advice, and while I appreciate it and I embrace it, it hits different when I get it someone that is Black and is succeeding in this business, because I know the obstacles they've had to go through to get to where they are, whereas a white person is giving me their advice from their perspective, and it's not the same. So yes, I 100% believe that the makeup of head coaches on the sideline should match that of the men on the field. So even if I'll give you some leeway, if it's not 70%, it should be at least 60% of the coaches in the league should be Black. That being said, even as Eric Bieniemy is interviewing, and I understand what that means, I need Black players in the league to stand up and say something. You need to be vocal. You need to start, just like I said when Colin Kaepernick was doing his thing. Y'all, if y'all don't want to kneel, I didn't ask y'all to kneel. I personally have not stood for the national anthem for a very long time. I don't see me standing for the national anthem ever in my life. It doesn't mean anything to me. But that being said, y'all need to say the first Sunday of every month, we're not playing until we are properly represented in this league, because you literally have the numbers. This whole show is about having the numbers, because if you have the numbers, you can push the narrative. You literally have the numbers. Brian Flores has owned the fact that this might impact his career, which thereby would impact his money. But you cannot bring about change without sacrifice. And there's too many men on that field who don't want to make any kind of sacrifice outside of their body. Like, they don't know that CTE is coming. I don't understand it. I don't understand why you're willing to sacrifice your mental and physical future, but you're not willing to sacrifice a little bit right now. Because I'm telling you right now, as the league goes, there's too many of y'all that could speak up and do the right thing. You can demand a change. You have what I've been saying this whole entire show, and that's the numbers. Please do not do to Brian Flores what y'all did to Colin Kaepernick, because it was embarrassing and it was flat out wrong. If we're not going to stick together as a people, what we really need to do is stop crying and marching and praying every time they show us how they feel about us. If crying and marching and praying is our only plan, we have no plan and we should stop. You have the numbers. Do something about it that's drastic. Force change, because you can. And you know how I have proof that you can? Look what happened to Whoopi Goldberg when she said something that the numbers, because it wasn't about her being right or wrong, it was about pushing the narrative. But when those who had the numbers, who were in control of that narrative, they got the reaction they wanted. We're going to talk about that coming up next. All right, y'all. All right. I am glad you made it this far in the show. Once again, I'm Jackie Ray. You can follow me on all things social media at Jackie Ray TV. Make sure you follow Nick Hamilton as well at Nick Hamilton LA and listen to our show, The Opposite Reaction, that comes on every Tuesday on the Good News Radio. And then you can hear it throughout the week on all those other platforms that we talked about. Hopefully not Spotify, though. So, but let's get into this next topic. And keep in mind that I am going to self-censor myself. If you want to know my real thoughts, you can DM me and I will call you, because I'm not about to put that in writing. But I will call you and tell you. So if you don't know, let me break down what Whoopi Goldberg said on The View. Ironically, it's funny to me when you get suspended for saying something that in my mind is spot on The View, which is your view, but you get suspended for it anyway, but whatever. So basically she said in on the show, they were talking about the Holocaust and things of that nature, and which comes up on that show way too often, if I'm being quite frank. But it does come, because I mean, damn, if we're supposed to get over slavery. Anyway, so it came up on the show and she said that she didn't consider that a crime of something about race. She didn't consider that a crime that had anything to do, or a tragedy that had anything to do with race, because in her mind, it was white people killing white people. And then everybody got upset with her and said she was wrong. So I'm just gonna throw out some facts. Y'all do with this information what y'all want to do, okay? I am a black woman. I can also be Jewish at the same time. In fact, if I were to convert to Judaism right now and have a child based on that religion, my child would be Jewish. Being Jewish is a religious practice. It is not a race. That's the biggest sham that I've ever seen, is convincing people that it is a race and not a religion. On top of that, the Jews that we know right now, based on the region that they are from, are not the original Jews. Again, it's not surprising to me that that's a thing, because again, it's not a race. It's a religion. There's Ethiopian Jews. So there are black Jews. I've even met a Latino Jew. It's not a race. It's a religion. So I could be Jewish right now and experience racism and experience someone being anti-Semitic at the same time. Because it's not a race. It's a religion. We know a lot of things. There's been a lot of things circulating about Hitler's grandfather might have been Jewish. I've also seen things that Hitler's mom might have had African and Jewish lineage or whatever. All that is speculation, but we do know for a fact that Hitler basically lost his damn mind because he was a mama's boy. Everyone else in his family kind of excelled in different areas. He did not. He kind of clung to his mom. And then when a Jewish doctor botched her surgery, whatever surgery that they were doing at that time to treat breast cancer, which ended up causing her death, I think she was only like 47 years old, that's where he lost his damn mind. And he blamed that Jewish man for his mother's death, and then that spiraled into this hate for all people who follow the Jewish religion. The reason why we hear so many stories of Jewish people kind of being able to hide in plain sight is because when you look like those that are in plain sight, you can hide in plain sight. Black people could have technically hidden as well if they were Jewish, because they wouldn't automatically assume at that time that a black person was Jewish. So, it's not a crime of race. It's a hate crime, for sure. Christian people have been persecuted throughout time. They've also persecuted a whole bunch of people, but you get what I'm saying. You can be Christian and persecuted. We damn sure know you can be Muslim and persecuted. We do that in this country very well. Very well. By the way, 9/11, never forget. Slavery, we should forget. Anyway, let me move forward. But you understand what I'm saying? So, but the reason why, it wasn't about her saying something that was not based in fact, because again, I think I've proven this is not a race. It is a religion. I used to get into this with my Jewish friends all the time, and I used to tell them, if a race war happens right now unless you go out of your way to tell people, you're going to be on the opposite side of me. Because it's white folks against non-white folks. This isn't rocket science, people. But again, the reason why you can all of a sudden change that narrative and make it something that it's not is because you have the numbers. You control the airwaves. You control the media. Jewish people own a ton of media. And I'm not mad at that because that's what we need to aspire to do. I think there was it Jay-Z that got mad at for saying that? He's not wrong in that aspect. When you have the numbers that ultimately gives you that kind of control, you can dictate, you can literally censor people. You can't talk about us like that because we control your job. At best, all we as Black people can ask for is an apology. That's it. For now, until y'all finally take hold of this message that I have been preaching since I was 16 years old. I ain't gonna tell y'all how old I am now, but damn, it's been a minute. Get it together, Black people. This is not about Whoopi saying something wrong. This is about controlling the narrative so you can control what she says. It takes numbers to do that. You get the power once you get the numbers. Black people, it's time for us to start seeking a little bit of power. That's all I gotta say. Thanks for listening. Once again, I'm Jackie Ray. You can follow me on all things social media at Jackie Ray TV. Don't forget to listen to The Opposite Reaction every Tuesday on the Good News Radio Network. That's an app that you can also download, or you can listen to us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, and SoundCloud for that. Y'all that like the fumble, we are kind of coming back, sort of. I know we're coming back for our Super Bowl special, and I got some stuff coming out for you on that network as well. Don't forget to follow me on my YouTube channel. Subscribe, be safe, and unite. We got this. We'll be right back.